You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, today on the Cooligans, we talk about Major League Soccer Cup. The Seattle Sounders won, and we were there. We had a great time.
It was amazing. I hate that you called that, but that's right. We had a great time. So many wonderful things happened in Seattle. So many things are happening in MLS. And in the second segment, we talked to Pablo Maurer.
Pablo Maurer of The Athletic joins us to talk about all things DC United, all things, a little gossip in MLS.
Oh, that's right. And gambling. We talk about a heavy gambling problem that we're all going to have now because of MLS. That and more on this episode of the Cooligans.
Hi, I'm John Strong. I'm the large bald man who stands next to Stu Holden when you watch soccer on Fox Sports. You are listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby! Boom.
Look at this. Oh, we got to get the energy up, you know? Because it wasn't just...
We're in too many time zones.
Too many time zones. Lot of sports, soccer. We have YouTubers fighting each other. You didn't see that? Logan Paul.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was like, what the hell? What did I miss?
There was a lot going on.
That's right. It was Copa 90 versus Jimmy Conn. Oh, wait, no. Copa 90's dead. Never mind. R.I.P., guys.
This is like a super inside jokes.
Yeah. If you like soccer, you know who we're talking
There's
about.
There's like three people who get it.
One of them, luckily, is in the room. Keep laughing.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Cooligans.
My name
is Christian Polanco.
And my name is still Alexis Guerrero.
That's right. He's going to have to change his name at some point.
I'm giving you my government. Right? That's how much I trust y'all.
Too many warrants out for him. But no, we are excited to be here. We're excited to be back from Seattle. And thank you for tuning in.
I feel like
in.
Every episode we're back from a different location.
Sure. Yeah. We're in deep credit card debt.
Yeah. We owe a lot of bad people a lot of money.
I hope that's clear to everyone.
Join Gully Squad, everybody.
We need help.
We really need it.
So, welcome to the show. We are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever.
Yeah, we better be. I mean, imagine you found another one. Ew.
Another comedian or another comedian who hosts a soccer show?
You know it would be trash. Don't do it. You got us.
Yeah, don't do that to yourself.
What more do you need? Grass ain't greener? And not just that, we're also the gulliest soccer show
that's
ever been on television.
So we're excited to, like I said before, we're excited to be back because we were just in Seattle for the Major League Soccer Cup.
And we got to
that's what it's called. I'm not.
That's true. Also the MLS World Cup.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Based on some dope merch that was being sold outside by Hustlers, who also had no idea how dope their merch was.
They didn't know what the MLS Cup was. No. They didn't know what event was going on.
They don't know the World Cup exists. They don't know MLS Cup exists, but they know that if you put those words together, there's a picture of the hat right there.
Yeah, this is this was the bootleg merch outside. This is a good thing. I hope people.
This is a positive sign for American soccer.
Correct. When American soccer is getting bootlegged.
Yes.
At the biggest tournament for the first division out here in America,
right.
This is a good sign. So
I dare you to find a crackhead outside of the lacrosse championship game trying to sell you a bootleg hat.
That's right.
This is lacrosse World Cup. It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, all right?
Like, I knew we kind of made it. Remember when we were walking into Rebel Arena for the Gold Cup? And it was like a street dude who's definitely not Hispanic going, boletas, boletas. And I was like, hey,
okay.
He got Duolingo, the hood edition.
Yeah.
To figure out what the Spanish word for tickets is.
You know, but when the diversity and the merging of cultures, because you need the Hispanic culture, you need soccer, you need somebody trying to scam you.
100%.
And when those cultures combine,
right.
I mean, that's a better America. I'll be honest.
That means we're taking steps forward. Next thing you know, the churro lady is going to be selling you tickets to games.
It's called inclusion.
Okay. Right. And you know what? That's the America I want to live in.
Yo, have you seen the churro lady getting arrested?
No, they're all getting arrested, yo. RIP to all our aunties out there who get dragged off the subway.
Disappointing.
For selling deep fried dough. One of the most American things you could possibly sell.
Exactly.
Yeah. Deep fried dough covered in sugar. What's wrong with y'all? What? How is that illegal in the NYPD? Oh, I'm sorry. You overdid the goodness?
Yeah. This is, this shirt is a bit more like representative of what's going on nowadays.
That's right, yo. Abolish.
ICE is going after churro ladies now.
Yo.
Is this necessary?
You know what? Deport me. Because I don't want to live in a world that doesn't have a churro lady
okay?
in it.
Okay. I want to have cinnamon sugar flakes on my sweater.
Where else am I supposed to find a white? Is this so-called churro at 2 a.m? Is there not a heating device?
Oh my God. Anyway, yes.
We digress. How do we get to this? Bootleggers.
Bootleggers. Look, it all makes sense. Yeah. But Seattle was incredible. Yes. Congratulations to the Seattle Sounders.
Also, one of the most impressive marches to the match I've ever seen. In my entire life.
Incredible.
And, you know, they had a Macklemore concert before, so they tried to ruin it, obviously. They tried to find a way to get people out of the
Macklemore, so people do not know, Macklemore is a part owner of the Seattle Sounders.
I heard it was silent owner, and that's because they make him be silent. Just please, whatever you do, don't play your music.
Look, he got, I'll be honest, he got those white people lit.
Oh, yes, he did.
They were hype for
the
game.
It was a lot of soccer dads out there, and a lot of them were tapping their toes. They were hitting those New Balances that you only buy if you go hiking. You know what I'm talking about? They were tapping those joints a little bit.
He put on a show.
Where you get them shoes, dog? Like, you know what I'm talking about? Those shoes that look like they're boots, but they have, like, the spaces missing so your feet can breathe. Where do you buy those? I want, like, yo, it's going to be cold outside, but I want the top of my foot. Oh, no, it won't be cold because I'm going to wear socks with sandals
you
anyway.
You got to get them at, like, REI, right?
Or Patagonia.
Patagonia,
right?
Yeah.
Hey, we're sorry your wife left you section of Patagonia. Will you go and get them shoes? Just to you guys. It's only
we're
going to
keep your ankles warm, dog.
Only thing worse than that is those shoes that have the toes cut out in them. You know what I'm talking about? Those are disgusting. You know what I'm talking about? They look like foot gloves.
But it's just that you said like the only thing worse than that, which does it's way worse.
Shoe-wise. Yeah.
There's worse shoes. There's worse things.
I know. Some of you right now are thinking Macklemore music, right?
He has a couple, you know, a couple bops in there.
Some of it bangs.
Some of it's all right.
I do like that Don Garber was here. He's like, Macklemore. And I'm like, we know how it's spelled, dude. Just... You don't have to go that perfect.
Yeah, but they had the march. I think there was something about, you know, I had never been to Seattle before, but the city very much was about this MLS Cup where
Uber drivers, everybody.
Uber drivers.
People throwing the fish. They're 100%. They were wearing the jersey. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah, they were all into it, man. It was a, I mean, like, I think the closest thing was like when we were in Atlanta. But it still felt very new, right? Because this was the first time Seattle hosted MLS Cup when they were in it. Because before it used to be
the neutral site. Yeah, and they hosted it before. So I think RSL won it.
Yeah, correct. But this was, the energy in the city was unbelievable. I mean, every single bar was full. The game was sold out. So people couldn't get tickets. There were watch parties.
Even the dudes that talk like they only watch NFL, you know what I'm talking about? Like they sound like they it's only like, watch NFL.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe they wear red hats during elections. Even those guys knew soccer was happening and were excited about it. You're here for the soccer game? It was actually exciting. I'm like, your tone suggested that the rest of this sentence wasn't going to be positive.
Okay. You have a very strong correlation between NFL fans and just straight up Trump lovers.
Well, I mean, if a soccer player knelt down, we wouldn't boo. So welcome to New America. Boletas. Boletas, boletas.
No, overall, the amount of support and love we got out in Seattle was overwhelming. It was unbelievable. We couldn't walk. Honestly, it was like every 5 to 10 minutes, somebody yelling Cooligans across the streets.
When they won, someone came up to us like in the mid of cheering for their team just won MLS Cup. And they stopped us to be like, you have no idea how important your voices are to me. Yada, yada, yada. I'm like, what? Why are you even... Why are you talking to me? Your team just won. You know?
Also, you got catcalled by a woman.
A lady driving by in a car lowered the window and goes, Gullion! It's you! And drove away. And I legitimately think she was one of the three Latinos I said lived in Seattle. She saw no, me, there, stopped me.
There was a fair amount, but it was good to see that the Latina support out there because, you know, it's just, yeah, they see
I
you.
I got an eye poppy version.
Okay, she's proud of you.
She was also, like, in the back seat, so she had to tell someone to stop. Lower the window and goes,
I got,
it's you.
Lower the window. I got to yell at this chubby dude. Yeah. And oh, like, Martha, that's so, who you like?
What is that, her deli guy? The guy's lowering the window.
We have something to unbox. Which
it's a gift. It's a gift from our Seattle fans.
Exactly. This was a gift from Kevin Brothers, who is...
Which sounds like a made-up name.
No. And it's not a black guy. but great dude, a Gully Squad member, great, super supportive. And he gave us this in Seattle.
Right.
After Seattle Sounders won MLS Cup. So we're here to open it. And
this is exciting.
This should be fun.
I'm doing my own drum roll.
Okay. All right. It feels like a glass.
Oh.
There it is.
Oh.
Okay.
Look at that. So it's the Bro-Am Faithful.
Yeah. This is ECS. Gin. Yeah. Emerald City supporters. This is the supporters group for the Seattle Sounders. And they definitely crushed it. This weekend.
Section 121, 122, 123.
I believe these are whiskey glasses.
Yes.
Okay. So Alexis is going to have a lot of use of this.
A lot of it. I'll fill it to the brim. I'll let you guys know how that goes. This is beautiful. We had a bit of an experience this section.
We did have a bit of an experience because...
We stuck in to say hello to some friends, and I think everyone was totally cool with it. No one had any problem with us two being there.
Let's say this first, because this was, we had never been to Seattle before. I don't expect everyone to know who we are, or I don't expect anything. Or to care. Nobody cares.
Or care.
It's fine. But I
certainly didn't expect anyone to be mad that we were there.
But we went, after the game was over, we went to congratulate some of our friends and just say, hey.
Siege, who just flew in.
Yeah.
Kevin. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Say, you know,
Kale, the princess of the show.
We wanted to just show them some love and be like, yo, we're here. Go,
and by the way, we're allowed, right? We have, oh yeah, there's Brad Evans. Right,
oh, look
there.
At that, Brad Evans.
Right?
Brad was cool with us.
Yeah, Brad was fine. But we had press passes that say we can go anywhere we want but the field.
Yeah.
So we went where we wanted, and it was not the field. So we went into the ECS section to say congrats, a lot of hugs,
but we were
a lot
not
of high fives.
Yeah, we were not. Well, we're not allowed, really allowed to be there. The,
I mean,
the supporters.
No. We're allowed to be there.
No,
we're 100% allowed to be
we're
there.
We're not allowed to be there.
We're allowed to be there.
I don't know why you have that mentality.
I got documents
what we learned,
that say I'm allowed to be there.
We learned very quickly we're not allowed to be there. All right?
We are.
It was more of them than us. So.
A couple people had a problem with it.
Yeah.
But first, we got splashed with some water.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's what a weird way to celebrate, by splashing water directly at us, right? Normally, you throw it up in the air, right? But clearly, someone must have been going crazy.
Yeah.
And then it happened again.
Yeah.
And what I realized, it was somebody who was splashing water around someone else, which is like, there's a word for it.
Yeah, it wasn't like somebody came up directly at us, like we were like at a nightclub and a girl's mad at a guy.
Yeah.
It wasn't that. Drink,
it wasn't that. It was like around somebody else, which is kind of like it's a bitch move. Can I say that? Am I allowed to say that?
I mean, it wasn't particularly polite. I'll say that.
But it's also like, it's so immature.
It was very mature.
Dog, you just won. You know what I mean? Aren't you excited?
Yeah.
So then I realized after the second one, like, oh, I think that was on purpose.
Yeah.
And you had said, like, I don't think they really like media here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, yeah, well, they're going to love us, right? Because we're not media. You know, we don't take anything seriously,
yeah.
Right? And then someone came right up to my face and said, you're not welcome here. And that's when I got the message. It was right in that moment, I think. She was very authoritative.
Yeah.
And I was like, I get it. And to be honest, I do.
Yeah.
You just won. This is your chance. This is your moment to celebrate. You don't want people that are, you know, media or here under other, you know, fans of other teams or whatever. We shouldn't be there. I get it. So I was like, uh-huh. I got it. And she goes, now. And I'm like, yeah. I heard you. And she goes, you're not welcome here. I'm like, you said it. And I agreed. And she goes, you need to leave. I go, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought this person was going to follow us the whole way out. You know?
At least I'll say this. I was.
Here we go. Here's a segment I like to call Christian taking the middle ground.
No. It was very, I would say infuriating / disappointing, because we go there with very good intentions. And
right.
I
we're
have,
trying to build the league. We're
no
trying
problem.
To support.
I have no problem somebody telling me, like, yo, you can't be here. I totally get that.
Yeah, I'm not a dues-paying member.
But it's
I mean, although I got a cup now, You got a cup? What you gonna do, fill it with water, hit me with it? Around your friend?
But that was that part that was frustrating. It's like, to be, for people to throw water on us, it's just like, all right, man, just like...
It's corny.
Yeah, it's corny. It's like,
mad corny.
Tell us to leave.
Just like, one of your chances, and I'm not gonna tell you which one. It's gonna burn a hole in your brain.
So that part was frustrating. So outside of that, everyone at ECS was incredibly welcoming. Again, like we were saying, everyone
else
stopped us. People did literally stop us. The dude Jacob in the middle of the street screamed,
"You're not welcome here." No. Was like, he walked out and he was like, "Yo, I can't believe I get to meet you guys."
Yeah.
He said, the next thing he says is, "I live on a boat." And yeah. We're like, uh-oh.
And this is not on screen right now. This is not Jacob. This is Sammy the Sounder.
Yeah.
Sammy the Sounder also happy to meet us. Yeah. Very, very lovely.
Splashes with his blowhole. I don't know if he has a blowhole.
Okay, you got to pay extra for that.
That's when the kids weren't around.
No, man, everything about the experience in Seattle was really
cool. He's going to rename his boat. He's getting a new boat, and he's going to name it the MLSS Gully.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
I said, we got to be there for the christening. I'll break a bottle of Four Loko on the front of his boat.
That's how
and then set sail, MLSS Gully.
It was an incredible compliment. Yeah.
People were buying us shots.
We drank too much.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, it's MLS Cup.
Like, two drinks for me is too much. So yeah. It's like a different, like,
this guy tried to order a White Claw at an Irish bar. It was a lot. A lot was going on. A lot was happening.
I'm not a huge fan of White Claw. No? To be honest, it's
too much.
Just, you know, I just, you know, I drank a White Claw and I started a new family.
Yeah.
I get a little crazy. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Two White Claws and he's all out. You stay in Florida and I'll be there after here.
No, but the entire weekend, did we show the TIFO already? I don't know if I had it on the screen. Yeah, but the TIFO for the Sounders,
it was a full stadium.
Yeah, somebody had room. Somebody had like gave us some hot goss and they were like, hey, you know what? And this happens all the time with TIFOs because nobody knows what the TIFO is going to be up until essentially the day it happens.
Right.
But some people are like, oh, right, yo, I heard.
Word on the street is that
the TIFO is going to be the lower bowl of CenturyLink Field. And I think they did that to throw us off because
it was
the whole damn stadium. You know how hard it is to do this?
They coordinated the entire stadium.
Yeah.
This happens in Latin America a lot of times.
This is incredible.
Where clubs have been, you know, ingrained in society for 100 years.
So this is after we should have realized.
Even Macklemore was involved. No one asked him to.
But they made him put down 4,000 of them. 4,000 yeah. little red and blue.
That's how he got to sing. He put those at every seat.
No, but the level of coordination and effort and volunteering, and this is where we have to give ECS the praise that it's due, right? Because
absolutely.
They are this intense and they are that committed to the club. Right. And to the point where they're like, we don't care what you do for American soccer.
Are you helping build American soccer? Get in here and have a nice cold drink while you're at it.
That's it. Yeah. Hey, man, like they are about it.
Have we thought about just walking up to us and say, hey, no media should be here? Have you thought about that? Mad corny.
No, man. So, but outside of that, man, the game was incredible. 3-1.
The first half was like boring, but I think it was boring because everyone was worried that this was also going to go to penalties.
Yeah.
But then the second half just got wild.
That's right.
You know who I feel worse for? Toronto FC had a great season. Shouts to you guys.
That's right.
You know who I feel worse for? Is Michael Bradley's accountant.
Yes.
And his agent. Because if they won, he had a contract clause that said he got a $6.5 million contract if Toronto FC won.
That's right. His option would be triggered if he won MLS Cup. So that game was worth $6.5 million. Have you ever had anything?
His agent was like just shutting tabs down of boats that he's not going to be able to get now. It's like, son of a...
His kid
comes in with crooked teeth and he's like, one more year.
It's almost like the... What do they call it? The $40 million game or something like that?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The championship playoff to get into the Premier League. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Because it's like $145 million now.
Sure, I don't even know.
Pounds. or whatever weight you people use for money out there. Antiquated system. Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, when you lose weight, it's stone? What year is it in England? You still have a queen? Dog.
Okay, well, Michael Bradley lost out on a lot of money.
Yes.
So, all right, we'll be back with more after this.
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We want to break it with a word from another one of our sponsors, SeatGeek.
SeatGeek is sponsoring today's show, so we always appreciate them. Always looking out for you, looking out for us.
Yes.
For any ticketing, any event where you need a dope-ass ticket to get in that stadium, because they won't let you in without one.
That's right. For some reason, they don't let you in without one. And if you want one, all you have to do is go to SeatGeek. We were just at MLS Cup. If you wanted to buy a ticket for MLS Cup, you could go search all the websites that sold it, or you could just pull up the SeatGeek app on your phone.
Exactly.
And find the best deal.
Exactly. And the game was sold out, so that was pretty much the only place you could get them.
That's right.
So they were taking care of the people out in Seattle. So,
and it's not just sporting events. They also do comedy and music, a lot of live events. Go to SeatGeek, download the app. Next time you need a ticket for something, you pull up the app. It's going to tell you what the best possible deal is across all the ticket sellers. And guess what? If you put in the word Cooligans, you're going to get $10 off your first order.
Crazy, huh?
They're just going to hand you a $10 bill. It's pretty amazing.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
What a crazy...
They're spending a lot of money sending people out there to find you $10. So go ahead, download the app. You're going to get $10 off your first order just because you put in Cooligans.
All right. So congratulations, Seattle.
We filled our new ECS glasses here with a little bit of some of that good.
Okay, look, I'm not hip on the rap lingo now.
Daddy-o.
That either might be alcohol or some new, very illegal drug. I don't know what he's talking about.
No, this is what came right out of my mother's teeth. This is whiskey, as they like to say in my country. Tis a bee. Sweet land of dark liquor.
So congratulations, Seattle Sounders. Thank you again.
And thank you for the cups. Mm-hmm. Thank you to the fans.
Oh, man, this is a very strong smelling whiskey. Okay.
Oh, put that in your Cheerios, boys. That is actually, it finishes a lot sweeter than I expected. Not to you, though. You gave the face like you were just kicked in the face while eating like a sour orange or something.
Yeah. This is, like a baby who tries a lemon for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is very strong. This is straight from the drinks with.
I'll say this. It's a sipping. It's certainly a sipping whiskey.
What is that? Julie Stewart Binks drinking? Because I think she might be highly, highly intoxicated on the show. It's not just like a little tipsy, fun little thing.
Oh, no, this is, you've got a problem if you drink a lot of this.
Because this is like sticking to the side of the glass.
Yeah.
This is syrup.
This is only Jade plays when you drink this.
It's Sade. I don't know why you call her Jade.
How off am I that you keep correcting me?
It's all the time. You say all the time.
What's the difference between what you say and what I say?
Sade?
Sade.
And you said Jade. Like,
all right. Well, maybe you don't know she's French.
No, so, congratulations. One thing I wanted to talk about regarding Seattle.
If we keep drinking this, we're going to start really telling the truth.
No, at CenturyLink Field, this has been a common thing that I've heard about, especially with Seattle Seahawks games.
Right.
But that there's earthquake team. There's a seismograph team at the stadium.
I'm pretty sure they put it underneath the stands because every time Seattle scored a goal, there was a registered mini earthquake.
Yeah, you really do feel it. It isn't like
we
just
felt it in the press box.
Yeah,
I grabbed the table because I thought the people near me were celebrating.
Sure. I thought you just farted, right? So
well, no.
That was my
that
first
is
thought.
One of the seismograph was like some weird happened in this one section of the suite.
Yeah, so we've never the Richter scale has never reached this high.
Yeah. It was short. And also the Richter scale told us it was a little wet.
I didn't know I measured that. No, but it is a very real thing. I don't know the exact numbers that it did hit, but there were two earthquakes that I legitimately felt.
Yeah.
Which as much as you may hear it, like from the broadcasters or whatever, it is very, it feels like the stadium is wobbling.
It's not a cliche. You actually feel the stadium shake.
Exactly. So
which doesn't make me feel very comfortable. I'm not gonna lie. What kind of buttressing do we have in this stadium? Let's talk beams. You know, should I be scared?
Alexa's out there knocking on every piece of furniture and wall. But no, it is very real. I'm glad we got to experience it just to, like, you know, tell the others, right?
Yeah.
Just so they can be
warn the next group of media people. So just don't go in there. It's just so they shakes when they score.
But yes, so it was incredible, right? And I wish I could get the number. I don't know what the numbers actually hit. Somewhat magnitude in the 1 to 2 range. So
okay,
all right, that's legit.
Well, remember the one that was in New York City like 4 or 5 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah, that hit like a 4.
Yeah,
I felt that.
When that happened, I remember I was in my bedroom and I saw everything sort of shaking and I felt everything shaking. And I had an upstairs neighbor.
A joke just popped into my head.
Hold on.
And if it wasn't for television, I would have said it.
So my upstairs neighbors I would often hear them having sex.
Right.
It was just a common thing. I would just get used to it. And like, this is my life in a Brooklyn apartment.
Yeah.
But I felt everything shaking. I'm like, man, they are really going in.
They are pulling all the stops.
So yeah, either.
And then the guy's like, I'm home alone. You're like, well, buddy, you need to relax. Chafing is a real concern.
So that's what happens in Seattle. It's either a goal being scored or somebody scoring.
Yay. Goal. Someone just got a big old gulp of Calpis.
Okay, I just want to point this out.
Yeah, this is true.
After we had posted the video of us trying the Calpis, we posted it on Instagram. Guess who liked the video? Calpis! Calpis liked the video.
The corporate account was like, wait a minute, did you joke about semen for 7 minutes straight? Well then, click. Love it.
You get a double tap.
Who's read our marketing decks, huh?
So, great synergy there, which was lovely. All right, so we have this box here.
That's right.
That I want to get to. So thank you. This is another illustrious gift.
That's what we get, baby.
Okay. So let's see.
Don't forget, if you want to send us a gift, please do. Shoot me a DM.
What?
Because I'll tell you the actual address.
What a pitch. Okay. All right. This is from, I know who this is. This is from Hartford Athletic. So it says, Cooligans. Hey guys, love the show and everything you are doing for soccer and the culture. As you may remember, I'm the designer for USL Championship side Hartford Athletic in Connecticut. Looking back on 2019, I wanted to send you a couple of first things I designed for the club. Oh, this is really cool. At the time, these were probably the two coolest things I had ever designed. Wait till you see the drip we've got for 2020. Hopefully they can get some use.
Wait, that means they're going to send us more stuff.
Okay. Wow, Alexa's really kind of pressuring people. Yeah. It says, hopefully they can get some use and congrats on the new show on Fubo. And he says, hit me up. I'd love to have you guys up for Connecticut for a game in 2020. We can finally get Alexa some good a pizza. Not that stuff you got in New York.
It's pronounced a pizza.
I'm ready.
Yeah, no, they have an A at the end, you're not supposed to pronounce it.
Oh, my bad.
It's Sicilian slang for trash pizza. You got roasted. Hey, Modern is trash. Pepe's is trash. Sally's is trash. Colony is trash. Bar is trash. What now?
Wow.
The parties is okay.
Little shots fired.
Look at this. These are really nice. But hold on. It doesn't end there, baby.
Look at this. We got a shirt from our friend. It says Polanco on it.
In there, buddy.
Look at this.
And shouts to using Adidas, which again makes jerseys for fat guys.
Thank you so much, Hartford Athletic.
That's this is my new name, yo. Stanley Guerrero's dog. That guy's allowed to live in your co-op, you know?
It's from TJ Salas. So TJ, thank you so much.
Look at this, the 2019 inaugural season.
Yo. Yeah, yeah, Hartford. We have also beautiful friend and Gully Squad member, Pete Garcia.
That's
Karcha, I don't know exactly how to pronounce it.
Big fan,
great dude, big Hartford Athletic fan as well. So thank you for the support, guys. Yeah,
hey, you know there's going to be a new team in the USL. So man, our heart is going to be tested for Hartford FC.
That's right,
because Hartford Athletic, should say,
because Queensborough FC. Have you heard about this, Alexis? All right,
yes, I did.
New York is getting more and more soccer teams. Every borough's going to get one,
and
What? Yeah. You said, and the, I was letting you finish your sentence.
And the Cosmos fans are not excited.
Sure. I mean, look, it's just more of a rivalry. Whatever. Everybody's fighting for this piece of the soccer fans.
There's 8.5 million of us.
There's plenty of people to go around. There's plenty of soccer teams for everybody.
We got enough room.
We're going to have 8.5 million soccer teams at some point.
We may all need to share a stadium to get one, but trust us.
So we were talking about a new team out in Queensboro FC. So this
Queensboro FC.
So this is David Villa
coming back to New York.
That's right. I guess this is officially his home.
Stay away, baby.
I say they always come back.
He didn't start Queensboro, Madrid. He didn't start Barcelona.
Would be an interesting branding, but but yes, it was it's exciting news for David Villa, for just more New York soccer. I don't think it hurts the popularity of the sport in the city.
Most people will come to America, right? And they want to start an academy to develop players and then to sell them to Europe, right?
Yeah.
But he's probably doing the same thing. That's probably one of the big sort of revenue engines for something like this, for an investment like this. Mm-hmm. He's starting it with the guy from Kramer, who's like a legit billionaire, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if they ask us to host stuff,
always bumped
money.
In. He ran into Seinfeld's apartment, yeah.
Giggity, that guy. Giggity Incorporated. That guy, they're legit billionaire, right? David Villa, world soccer superstar, right? Yeah. Those two are starting a USL team in Queens. Tons of people who play soccer in Queens. This is going to be good for U.S. soccer. This is going to be good for the men's national team. This is going to be good for the women's national team if they start a women's team. Mm-hmm. It's going to be good for everybody except all the other soccer teams in New York City.
So that's a fair question. Look, what do we think the impact will be on the city? And then is NYCFC threatened by this? Are the Red Bulls threatened by this? Are the Cosmos threatened by this? Like, what is it going to be sort of a battleground for take talent? And for their team,
there's clearly more than enough talent, but there's also other academies like Med Oval, right?
Yeah.
Blaugashwe. Who knows if I'm pronouncing that correctly? The guy it was named after doesn't know if it's pronounced correctly, yeah. Right? How do you spell that name? There's like a 7 in there. It's a very odd name. Like all these different academies, they're all Manhattan United, right? Was a Manhattan soccer
club. I forgot what they're called.
I'm talking
about
the one that Jack Harrison played for.
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
Like, maybe they're going to become affiliates of this, but there's clearly more than enough kids in New York City, especially in Queens, which is a very residential part. But I mean, if you're one of these, if you're the Red Bulls, if you're NYCFC, if you're the Cosmos, this is now eating into a potential revenue engine for you.
Yeah. And they put out a promotional video announcing the team. Right. And it's interesting because the councilman, Francisco Moya,
who we've met,
we met him at a party, but he's like one of the people that was fighting really hard to get NYCFC a stadium in Queens.
Right.
And now it's looking that that's not like it might not happen, but he's in the video. Like,
it's also kind of looking like it might be the Bronx too.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, so that's what I'm saying. Do you think that do you think Queensboro gets a stadium before NYCFC?
Yes.
Okay. Which would be really disappointing.
Yes,
right?
Yes, it would. Can we use it?
Oh, it seats 400. We'll take it.
Done. Well, right now they're going to be playing at York College, which is a modular stadium, which is basically like they put up bleachers, right?
Sure. Sure.
Or like one of those things where it's the shipping containers. Have you seen those?
Yeah, it's going to be an episode of Tiny House.
Yeah, yeah. It's season 2 of The Wire.
Yes. A modular meaning like, pieces together. They can make it. They can grow it if necessary.
Yeah, but
it's like an erector set.
Yeah, exactly.
Dating myself pretty badly. Yeah.
Especially if you lived above him. Erector set? Get it? All right. So which we'll call it. So I think they said the maximum capacity is going to be 7,000.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, a good number for a USL club.
I think, a USL club, especially also USL championship, right? So the level of talent is going to have to be pretty high. It's not like, League One or League Two. Where
no, these are like MLS reserves and some MLS starters.
So that's why, starting a new team can be somewhat challenging. Hartford, right? We were just talking about them. Like their inaugural season, they did pretty well. But the bar is going to be really high. And I think David Villa will be able. I don't know exactly how much he's going to be a GM or just owner or whatever.
He also doesn't. I mean, he lived in New York for 4 years. He doesn't know a lot about New York culture. Like, one suggestion I would have for the team is, instead of concession stands, get churro ladies. Okay. Now, I know they all have warrants now.
Okay. they're going to be tough. They're not going to pass all the background checks.
Yeah, I mean, don't even do one. You know what I mean? Those tattoos, they had to get them. Yeah, all right, they were in jail, dog. You got to pick a side, you know?
Churro gang, what you know about that?
Let my aunt say, I'm going to deep fry you like that dough. All right?
Well, the idea of just like a gangster ass churro lady is like, makes me so happy.
Dug ass churro lady.
Just churro in, churro out. You know?
Cinnamon sugar in. You about that life?
So I hope it goes well. And I'm excited. I think it's gonna be starting in 2021. I'm excited.
It's quick.
We'll go to games. We'll see what it's like, see what the experience is like.
like we'll go to games. We'll decide if it's good or not. We'll be there.
No, I'm
who knows? Maybe we can get involved with the team, you know?
I think a lower division team in New York will only help will only help MLS, will only help the popularity of the sport in the city, just because we need sort of that
well, everyone
smaller
who listens
grassroots
to this,
club. Yeah, yeah.
Everyone who listens to this that's a Cosmos fan just threw their phone at a wall.
Okay, we got to support local soccer regardless of
who it is. That's so, it, yeah, I mean, we're really excited about it. Send us some jerseys.
NYCFC, we talked about it last week. Lost their head coach.
Dome Tarrant gone.
Seems to be a very temporary position for the coaches out here in
New York City. Gets a season and a half. That's how it works.
Okay. You get 15 months. Take it or leave it.
Yeah. We're contract. We get it. But still. So he's gone, which is still odd to me because, you know, he was a part of the City Football Group sort of system, right?
Yeah.
He'd own an assistant. He was in the Amazon Prime show. Always standing next to
Marvelous Miss Maisel.
That's right. Great actor.
He was really incredible in that, to be honest.
recurring. He was hoping to go season regular. So now he's gone, but he says he might want to stay in MLS. So what does City Football Group do to replace him?
Yeah. And what candidates do they really have? But it's looking, you know what? At the very least, it looks like City Football Group somewhat, you know, respects that position. Like the use of for the NYCFC coach will be a stepping stone, which is not really that bad. If the stepping stone,
I mean, it is if you want your club to be like great, right? You don't want to be someone else's feeder club.
Correct. But having
you're like for now,
having a great coach that coached in several maybe different countries across Europe, played all over Europe. I don't mind having that person as a coach for a short amount of time over just some dude. You know what I mean?
Sure. Like the name being thrown around right now is supposedly Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
Yes.
Which again, great name, right? Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, you know, that sounds like a guy who lives in a house where you need a horse to get around.
Meaning like the horse is inside the house.
The horse is inside the house.
From room to room.
The is coming from inside the house. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. It sounds like a name a kid makes up to be like, oh, my dad? Oh, you don't know Giovanni Van Bronckhorst?
So, but it's sounding like this.
And how is he from Holland? It sounds like he's half Italian, half Bronckhorst.
But from what I was reading, it sounds like that this job at NYCFC might be his sort of test for a possible replacement of Pep Guardiola at Manchester City.
Which I don't think it works that way. I don't think the two correlate exactly. And if anything, wouldn't you assume that's Mikel Arteta?
A lot of people are assuming that, but it seems like they're already thinking.
I asked if you would assume.
All right, can I finish my sentence? You have a very difficult time with any exposition, right? Yeah. Really? Me explaining
it? Well, anything? Let me Google that, and I'll tell you if I got a problem with it.
It seems like the City Football Group is, they're not sure if Pep Guardiola is going to be around after 2021 when his contract is up, and they have to start thinking. Like, the manager musical chairs, is it's not the sort of same anymore, right? Because there's several really big clubs that the Carlo Ancelotti's, right? Those level, the Jurgen Klopp, that they can go to several different places. So they have to really start figuring out how to kind of groom people to take those positions and fill. Because they,
so in other words, they have to create a management academy. Like, instead of it just, so you have like the U50s.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
You got the U45s. Like, they're good. They're good. But they're doing good work in Uruguay.
Yeah, they ain't ready yet. Yeah. But yes, I think a City Football Group is trying to think more because they have all these different teams in different countries. They have this luxury. Which most clubs do not, right? Where they have to find the best available coach.
Yeah, but I mean, what's it going to... So Van Bronckhorst is going to manage in New York for, 3 years? And then he's going to get to the Premier League.
I don't even think he'll be here 3 years. That's what I'm saying.
A year and a half. That's all he's allowed to be. MLS rules. And then he gets to, and he's going to be like, hey, how much TAM do we have here in England? You know what I mean? Like,
he's going to be a little confused. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure. Is Sergio Aguero a DP or not? I think, but at least for NYCFC fans, I think this is a good name to be hearing, right?
I mean, the only mistake I think that City Football Group continues to make is that they don't hire people with MLS experience. And I think that's something that is, there's a learning curve to MLS.
They hired Jason Christ. That didn't work out too well.
That's a good point. But I'm not saying that's the only hurdle. You know what I mean?
But I think that what left like a bad taste in their mouth. They tried it. They were like, oh, we're starting a new team. Let's get an MLS experience
Jason
guy.
Jason Christ is the upbeats of MLS.
The what?
Upbeats, remember? Oh. Yeah. It's a good callback for those of you who remembered 4 minutes ago.
Okay. And I guess it is trash? Is that what
it is? Well, it's okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right.
It's okay.
I see. This is where I'm walking on eggshells.
You went to Modern Upbeats. What did you think? Remember, we went before the Fairfield Comedy Club shows.
Yeah, it was good.
All right. He didn't say that day. I mean, this is what we go through. This right.
This is how when I give an opinion about pizza, Alexis is he gets upset.
Yeah, because it's a trash take for trash pizza. We've been talking about soccer in New York. U.S. men's national team.
Yes.
They may benefit from more teams in New York, but they have games coming up against two powerhouses.
That's right.
Right?
Powerhouses of CONCACAF.
Canada. Igua.
That's right. The rematch.
Yeah. If you would total the two up, we still won, right? But only because Cuba was being very respectful and allowed them to score. Very not going to happen this time.
Very generous. They were, they share the goals.
Right. They open up. Look at open door policy, right? Don't you wish you had that? So I think the game is happening in the Grand Caymans for Cuba.
Correct.
In Canada, that game is going to be happening here in the U.S.
Stop hitting my chair.
Sorry, I'm hitting your chair. It's going to happen here. It's going to happen here in the U.S. I'm hitting your leg now. But no Pulisic.
No Pulisic. Sick because apparently injured in the last game that he played.
Allegedly.
So
I don't know if I believe all that.
Alexis has maybe a little maybe this will be the conspiracy section of of the show, but no. Pulisic has an injury, according to Greg Berhalter. And when he did his press conference, he was saying that this was agreed on by the club and country, that this was best for the player. Mm-hmm. Alexis was like,
he said it through his teeth. He was like, yeah, seems like a great idea.
I've mentioned this before, and I've said like it feels like that the players, the U.S. men's national team players, do not like being called up. It feels this way because of these losses. They seem, the chemistry doesn't seem to be there when they are
it's
playing.
It's also
again.
Like important times at the club. If it, all right, let's say it is allegedly false, right? That he didn't hurt his hip, right? He's not a 95-year-old man. Okay. let's just say that this is false, right? And that the reason they're doing this is to keep him at the club in this club form, in his current club form. Is that not technically a good thing for Christian Pulisic? Would you not agree that him tearing it up the way he's doing it in Chelsea is a big step forward in his career.
And of course, in his career.
So then does that not also mean it's a big step forward for American soccer?
Well, not if the U.S. loses to Canada and Cuba. Or, I mean, not going to lose to Cuba.
All right. You know, you don't have to say it. That's right. There's other Cubans here.
I've offended two people in this room. If the U.S. does not make it to the knockout rounds of the Nations League, this is bad. This is also bad for Christian Pulisic as well. I think this is my, as far as any possible conspiracy or anything like that, it just feels like with what happened to Miles Robinson, mm-hmm. after Frank de Boer told Greg Berhalter, hey, don't overtrain him. We have big games coming up, and he gets injured on international duty.
Right.
I think other coaches across the world where if their players are getting called up to the men's national team, there might not be that much faith in Greg Berhalter that he's going to keep their players safe, which is horrible. Because there's no way Christian Pulisic turns down an opportunity to play for his country. Yeah, he's the best player on the team.
He's also very dedicated to the men's national team.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not their choice. Zach Steffen's already not playing.
Yeah, that's another one where Zach Steffen's not playing for the country, playing for his club.
Yeah, he's going to play at Dusseldorf.
He's going to play, which looks weird because it's like, yo, if you're fit enough to play, why don't you do that?
I'm not 100% sure if they're in a relegation battle, but they're not doing great.
They're not doing great.
So they need Zach Steffen.
Sure, but
do you think that games against Canada and Cuba are big enough where we need our A team in order to win?
If they would have.
Do we need the A team in order to win? Okay, ooh, there's a real question.
Mr. T, where's
B.A. Baracus, dude. Hell yeah.
This is if the U.S. had beaten Canada in that game, I would say I would understand not calling them up or them turning down
our
them
B squad.
Focusing on their health. But at this point,
I'll say this. Our B squad should be able to beat Canada, right? As much as Canada's developed and advanced quite a bit, our B squad should still be able to defeat them. And I'm pretty sure the media team for U.S. soccer could beat Cuba. No offense. I love Cuba. You're the greatest country in the world if you could fix your political stuff. But I will say, I mean, you and I alone might give them a good run.
I say, look, Christian Pulisic not going to be there. I think Canada's winning this game again.
Oh, another episode
in the books
in the bank.
Number 19, man. Wow, I'm proud of you, viewer.
Yeah.
You really did it this time.
Hey, you did it. You made it all the way here. I thought you were going to say you were proud of us. You know? But no.
No, that's what Alexis is here for, to really talk about our accomplishments and his accomplishments.
It's really about us, you know? Look, think of all the boxes we open, not one paper cut. I mean, it's amazing. So if you want to test that, send us more boxes.
Hey, Christmas is coming. Yeah. All right. I don't know what religion are you. I don't know what religion you are, but our religion is gifts.
Or, you know what? We'll do Hanukkah 8, right? You get 8 gifts on that bad boy, don't you? Let's go.
Yo, get ready for that Hanukkah episode.
I'm going to light a candle for every unboxing, my guy. You know? Guess what, guys? Chivas Regal has one more event for you. This time it's in downtown Los Angeles.
Exactly. House of United, a great event that's celebrating the 13-year expression in honor of Sir Alex Ferguson
that's
of
right.
Manchester United.
Won the league 13 times. They went ahead and got a 13-year-old whiskey. Not bad, okay? And guess what? It's also free. The event is free.
It's incredible.
Why would you not go there? November 24th at 8 a.m., downtown Los Angeles. There's going to be a lot of people there.
Exactly. One of them is going to be former Manchester United goalkeeper, Gary Bailey.
Whoa, and you know who else is going to be there? I just heard right now.
Oh, right.
Bibbidi-bibbidi-bibbidi. I just got Morse code. Says Triple G is going
to
be there.
The boxer Triple G is going to be there. So you need to be at this event November 24th, 8 a.m. downtown Los Angeles.
It's free.
I think our guest today might be one of the gulliest guests that we've ever had. He's been on the show before. He's been on the podcast.
He's been on our show before. We've hung out with him in person.
Yes.
We've met him in his city. He's met us in our city. And to this day, every time I talk to him, I'm still not sure he's my friend. You know what I mean? And that's what I love about him. That's what I love about him. Because you never know exactly where you sit with this guy. You know what I mean? He's legitimately one of the people. When I say like American soccer, it has like the dopest people in it. And this is one of the guys that I think accentuates that. Absolutely love this dude.
Yes.
He's one of the best. He's a writer for The Athletic. He used to be a mechanic, and now he's a full-time soccer writer. And he'll tell you your car is trash like he did to mine, okay? But he could also do amazing, amazing writing when it comes to whether it's DC United or anything in the league or in American soccer. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the one, the only, Pablo Maurer.
Hello, Pablo.
How's it going?
Yes, that's
there
the,
it is.
That's the energy we want from Pablo. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Alexis. We are friends for now.
For now. Ominous.
Yeah.
We have an expert that goes here.
I think because Pablo, you are, I've told you this before, but you are one of the funniest people in like soccer Twitter. You're as funny as a lot of the comedians that we know. And we're not particularly used to finding that amongst soccer journalists, right? To have a sharp wit and real cynicism. And I think that's why Alexis and I don't know if you like us, right?
So really, we brought you on today's show to find out, do you like it? No, I'm joking. But this is a big moment for you. You've now gone, what? Is this a full season as a full-time writer?
Yeah, just finished, I guess, my first full MLS season. Was an interesting experience. That's about all I got on that. But yeah, it's been a long year. I'm ready for a few days off, I guess.
Have you noticed that one of the things that, you know, was brought up to us when we started doing a soccer podcast, and we said, you know, we're going to try to maybe focus most of it on American soccer. People are like, yo, there's not going to be enough stories. You're never going to be able to fill an entire podcast with just that. And we've had episodes that are 4 hours long. Okay. Like there's more, there's so many incredible stories. There's so many, like, you know, behind the scenes stuff going on. How have you found it now as a full-time writer? Have you been able to have you struggled looking for stories, or do you have so much that you got your off season already planned out?
No, I mean, you know, I've always been a writer. I might focus more on the human aspect of the game or on players. And there's no shortage of stories on any team. And you have, you know, 18, 20, 25, whatever people, you know, on a roster of staff, that sort of stuff. You know, with MLS, it's such a weird league, so many weird mechanisms, so much off-season sort of movement that there's definitely no shortage of stuff to write about. I mean, you could, you know, the equivalent of your four-hour podcast, I could write a four-hour podcast every day about some stupid, obscure thing in this league, you know, so I think I think we're fine. You know, as long as the league doesn't fold, we have material indefinitely.
Okay. You know? And there's been a couple of great articles that you've written in just the last couple of months that I have loved, and we'll get through them throughout the show. But I want to start with one that you wrote recently titled Inside the Confidential 2016 Study That Provided the Blueprint for MLS's Modern Era. And this was great. And even before I read the article, I read the comments of you on Twitter of people responding to it who probably didn't even read it. But I love how mad they were at you for it. But this is a very interesting thing. And if I'll sort of paraphrase, I mean, basically the article is about a research study that MLS hired a company to basically give it some direction on where it should take the league. But this is a very confidential report that you got your hands on, you and Paul Tenorio.
Yeah, you gave it to us. Remember that, right? Yeah, obviously the Boston Consulting Group study is I would say pretty well known study that MLS ordered in 2015. It's basically like a top to bottom kind of examination of all its business operations, their competitive model, their broadcast product, every single aspect of the league. The Boston Consulting Group, they came back with, you know, this 250-page summary of basically what the league needed to do if it wanted to become a viable television product or, you know, to compete with Liga MX, literally globally as far as quality goes. So it's pretty fascinating because it's sort of become the roadmap for MLS in the past, you know, it's been 3-4 years now, and the study runs through, I want to say, 2021. So in a way, it probably continued to be a roadmap, you know. Definitely when I got my hands on it, I was like a kid in a candy store. You know, I mean, it's full of so much closely guarded kind of confidential stuff that you don't typically see when it comes to MLS. You know, they present a pretty polished image of themselves generally, you know, so it's interesting to just kind of look at the raw data sometimes.
What did you think when you read it, knowing sort of it's 2016 study, you read it, I'm assuming in 2019, you know, so you've gotten to sort of see what has come about and what hasn't. Some of the things that you reference in the article is that they didn't fully follow the guidelines of the BSCG or BCG group's sort of synopsis. What do you think from reading it?
Yeah, I mean, I think they followed quite a few of their suggestions. I think as far as the competitive model, they definitely did. You know, this study definitely directly led to the introduction of TAM, which was sort of the BCG gave them a few options as to how they could improve their product. One of them was just like, taking the reins off completely. The clubs, the league's bigger teams obviously let them just spend willy-nilly and pound the smaller spending teams into the ground. And there are a couple other options. The MLS, like I said, they sort of chose a hybrid of those. You know, they said, well, you know, we'll use this mechanism to inject this money into these like mid-tier roster spots to increase the overall quality of teams while not raising the salary cap tremendously, not imposing a floor spending wise. So I think undoubtedly the quality of the league has come a long way in the past 3 or 4 years, but you could also make an argument that the league didn't follow some of the most aggressive course of action in the study. That's something that could have accelerated that growth of quality and had MLS teams competing with Liga MX and other teams a lot faster, and then other areas of the study, scheduling, like they wanted the BCG recommended shortening the schedule, which MLS did in their own way. Not exactly the recommendation. They didn't follow sort of the recommendation of the BCG to a T. TV product, they've, incorporated some of the recommendations. So, it's fascinating to me to see like what they do going forward, because there's even more drastic measures that the study recommends that they haven't implemented yet, we'll have to see what happens.
So Pablo, there was a bunch of stuff that they obviously did. You talked about how a lot of the article focused on position 4 through 11, number 4 through 11, and sort of getting the middle and the meat of that sort of lineup to be a bit higher quality. And it seems a lot of those things are coming true. Is there one thing from the article that you wish you could have instantly instituted that you think would make the league better?
That's an interesting question.
Are you surprised that I asked an interesting question?
It seems like you may have actually read the article, which is shocking. I'll tell you this, like, I'm not convinced it would work, but I'm fascinated by the studies and recommendation on the MLS schedule, which would be this: start the season the beginning of February, season runs through the middle of August, MLS Cup gets played at the end of August, right? So the entire season is over in, what is that, like 6 months or something like that, 5 months? You immediately then in October play an intra-league tournament with Liga MX. The entire US Open Cup gets moved and played in February, and they also recommended really highlighting the Open Cup and CONCACAF Champions League, which I really like. I love both those tournaments. And they do all this just to sort of maximize MLS's exposure on television, right? Because in the middle of the summer and towards the end of the summer, there's nothing really that they'd be competing with, especially during weekdays. So I don't know if I'd recommend that. I don't know if there's any one thing in the study that I was like passionately in favor of, but I think that's a pretty off the wall, interesting idea to explore,
Yeah, it does. That one, when I saw that, the soccer fan in me is like, no, that's ridiculous. And then you imagine that the players would be insanely overworked. You would have to have three game weeks so often. But when I read it, it felt like one of those things that was like, oh, they hired a company to introduce this report and make the suggestion. And because all these other things sort of have happened that are in this report, it's like, oh, is this a possibility? Does MLS feel like if we do this, this will help improve the product and help grow the sport in the country, regardless of how many players are injured because of it, right?
Well, players are going to die. But again, that just frees up more TAM,
I mean, the thing that's really fascinating to me too is you read the study and it's just like, it's obviously, it looks at MLS through the business prism, right? But it lacks all this soccer specific knowledge. I mean, it really is. Somebody, maybe a commenter on The Athletic said something which made me laugh because I had the exact same thought, which was it felt a little bit like it was written by the Bobs from Office Space. You know, like they pulled Don Garber into the office and were like, what would you say that it really is that you do here, Don? You know, like, to me, it was like, that was the one, you know, there's a slide that I Twitter that's just hysterical. It says, like, you know, it's got columns of photographs, and on the left it says, you know, the EPL and the NFL are this, and it's a photograph of U2. And then it says, you know, MLS is this, and it's a photograph of the weekend. And it's just like, it was so obviously, like, it was so obviously assembled by, like, a 48-year-old dude who's completely out of touch. Like,
without a doubt.
Asked his 15-year-old, like, who's hot right now.
Yeah.
And they're just like, I don't know, I hate you, Dad, like, the weekend, whatever.
It's,
you know,
a,
like,
it's a guy who tried to connect with his kids and then gave up. Yeah. And made the meme instead.
It wasn't about new artists the weekday the other day. It was great. And like,
well, Pablo, you also written a couple articles about DC United. You live in the DC area, and you've been covering the team for a long time, and you are one of these people who I look to, especially when it's things DC United related. Oh, speaking of this, we were at MLS Cup and we were at a party and bumped into Dwayne De Rosario. And I asked him, because you had told this amazing story about asking the wrong question to Dwayne De Rosario. And
this was also 2 a.m.
This is 2 a.m., but he was like...
So we're all at a nightclub just partying, and all of a sudden Christian's like, hey, I got this great question for you.
You remember this guy?
Remember when you were pissed off by this report?
No, I remember. He's like, remember me? I'm curious.
He did. 100% he was like, he asked you this question. He's like, yeah, I remember that guy. And he was like, yeah, well, I take my job very seriously. That's what he said.
He said, thank God that guy's out of the business. And we didn't have the heart to tell him you're now full time.
But you,
has he been on your show yet?
No, he has not. But
we're trying.
We invited him.
We're efforting.
Yeah, get this man on your show and ask him about whether he feels that his legacy is truly appreciated.
Okay. We actually talked about that at the club.
That's what Alexis does at nightclubs. He asks girls, like, yo, what do you think your legacy is going to be when you leave this nightclub?
You think your legacy is going to be appreciated? Yeah, show more men rip. Yeah, that's what I'm doing at the club. I'm just letting the belly hang out. You know what I mean? I'm just giving advice, you know?
Anyway, I wanted to ask about... what happened in 2019 to DC United? Because Lucho Acosta, the article about him as well, about just like, you know, where his season went, his failed move to PSG, how that affected the team, how that, you know, how did that affect him? We'll start there and then we'll talk about Rooney maybe in the next segment. But what happened to DC United?
Oh, yeah, what happened? Lucho
Acosta? I mean, I think it would be like if you got invited to audition for Saturday Night Live, and like you get there, you go through the entire audition, the contract's on the table, and then I don't know, Fubo, whoever is like, we want $20 million for Polanco's.
Oh, okay.
And so Lord Michael is like, no, all right, go back to the morning show.
Yeah.
And you might have a hard time bouncing back from that immediately, you know, like
I mean, I'll say this. I will never forgive Fubo. All right, I'll say it right now.
yeah, exactly. Right. The show will have a very different tone. I think Lucho really struggled with that the first half of the year. I think between that and teams just sort of, you know, figuring out Lucho and Wayne's dynamic and putting numbers on Lucho, you know, they were disconnected very quickly. And DC United, for one reason or another, is not the most complex or deep team tactically. You know, so they became pretty easy to play against. You know, it's pretty straightforward, I think, what happened to them. I think by the end of the year, they were so punchless offensively that, you know, they essentially kind of regressed in their old style of play from a couple of years ago, where it was just like kind of destroy the game at all costs and defend and try and spring an occasional counter, but it never seemed to work. And obviously the game against Toronto, the playoff game, was like, it was one of the most surreal things I've ever seen as far as watching TFC, you know, hang four on them in like 10 minutes in extra time. It was just like a total gut punch for those guys. So, it was an interesting year for sure.
it seemed as the Flow Sports contract went, so did the team, and both into a dumpster.
Yeah, DC United were just like a red error card by the end of the year.
Yeah, it said buffering. It said buffering during extra time in the playoffs. It just constantly buffering. When you look at a player like Lucho Acosta, rumor is that Rooney's going to bring him out to Derby County. Do you think that it's going to be difficult for DC to try to bring in players at that level? Or do you think they're going to go all in on a huge name? Like, what comes next? Because how does Ben Olsen still have a job?
That's a fair question.
Simple question.
That one I'm not going to touch. As far as the players they bring in, no. I mean, I don't think. Look, bottom line is that Wayne Rooney is sort of impossible to replace, right? Because he's not just a name player. I would argue that globally, outside of Cristiano, Messi, and Zlatan, Wayne is probably the most recognizable soccer player in the world. I mean, there are certainly players who are much better, playing for much better clubs, but Wayne has this sort of mega celebrity that like maybe four or five players in the world possess, right? So you're not going to get that. You're not going to get I don't think you're going to get like a Mesut Ozil either, which is hilarious that he was ever even connected to DC United, because he's, I don't know how that rumor. I think that the team was eager to let that rumor sort of percolate, but in reality, it just was, they were speaking to his business people because the guy is opening a coffee shop in Audi Field, no joke. So,
about beans.
Yeah. Exactly. We're currently roasting the contract. I think it's like when you break up with your girl and you like DC United went so far as to like hire someone on Back Pages that looked real hot to try to be like, look, everything's working out just fine. Didn't need you. And she's like, I'm here for the car. Yeah, like,
that rumor came out the day that season ticket renewals went out, which makes me really crack up too. Yeah. But no, I mean, I don't think you're going to replace Wayne with a similar player. I think statistically, they've probably already replaced him with Ola Kamara. You know, I think the team's in the market for like a 10, you know, obviously to they're going to need to replace, a couple of pieces. And I think they might also view Lucas Rodriguez, who's another Argentine.
Yeah, yeah.
Who currently plays in the wing, maybe as Lucho's replacement centrally too. But you know, it's you just never know at DC United, man. Every offseason is just a total crapshoot, you know. So
yeah. But Ben Olsen will always be back. He ain't going nowhere.
That's right. You don't need a statue of Ben Olsen because he's just there.
Right. We'll be back with Pablo after this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to bring in with word from one of our new sponsors, Live, Breathe, Football.
That's right. We've done an unboxing on the show with some great gear from Live, Breathe, Football.
That's right. They got us a bottle of Douce.
That's right. Yeah. We got it. Yeah. We got to show love, clearly.
Absolutely. And I do say they have a great product.
That's right. Also, we're drunk.
Yeah. We've been getting lit off that Douce. But their products are absolutely incredible. We've talked about this before. It's cut and sew. They're not just buying product that's already available and throwing, screen prints and stuff on it. They're making all this product from scratch. That pullover jacket that I have, I absolutely love.
Yeah, which is that was the collab from Sporting Kansas City. They did a collab with Portland Thorns, and they do a bunch of just dope t-shirts, like, representing kind of European soccer. That I have that Aubameyang shirt. Yeah. That's dope. So they have a bunch of dope gear. So make sure you go to Live, Breathe, Football, and spelled FUTBOL .com, and use the promo code Gulliest, and you will receive 15% off your first order. So
that's incredible. Just Gulliest. Their clothes are really, really high quality. So holidays are coming up. Go ahead, go to Live, Breathe, Football. .com, put in Gulliest, get yourself 50% off your first order. We're back with Pablo Maurer of The Athletic. Now, Pablo, you also wrote another article about gambling with MLS, which is something that you don't really hear too much about.
Exactly. Pablo doesn't really talk about his gambling problem that much.
That's right. I mean, we all know it's there. We've tried to have interventions before, but he just keeps driving half car, half pickup away from us. Gambling in MLS, the article, I just love how many times he's covered his face during this story. The article itself talks about how it's relatively easy or sort of like an open spot for gamblers to maybe make a little bit of money. I don't understand too much about gambling. I only know that's why I lost my family. But other than that, what is it specifically about MLS that you think makes it sort of ripe for the picking for gamblers?
I mean, to be clear, I don't necessarily think that. It's just what everybody all the gamblers I talk to, seem to think it is. The general consensus was that because nobody cares, I'm just going to put it that way, because like nobody abroad watches MLS, because there's a lack of sort of raw data on the league that's easily accessible. The lines on MLS are sometimes ridiculous. I mean, like, I think somebody gave me an example once where, it was like TFC was playing a regular season game in between two CCL games, and they had, they had openly said to the media in Canada and the U.S., hey, look, we're going to play reserves in this regular season game. We're going all in on the CCL thing. Well, betting houses in the U.K. or, abroad don't take that sort of stuff into account, So they still had, I think, TFC as heavy favorites, to them overseas. They're just like the defending champions, most expensive roster in MLS history. Obviously, TFC got slaughtered,
I remember that game. Yeah.
If the Union would be a good example this year, they would have, Marco Fabian at unfavorable odds to score, saying that he has a high chance of scoring when in reality, like, he was not even in the 18 for half the games. Yeah. They would, while the PK taker for Philadelphia would be, at like 12 to 1 or something like that, something that's, could make you a lot more money, So
what
I gather is just because nobody cares, it's like easier to bet on.
Yeah. While I was reading the article, I'm like, why have I not gambled all my money on Major League Soccer? Yeah. Cause I know a little bit. Enough to if I saw some of those odds, I'd be like, oh my God, this is where it pays off for like British people to hate Major League Soccer or call it a retirement league, because we can make all this money from the bookmakers. You know what I'm saying?
A gambler can make more money than a rookie in MLS.
Which is pretty good. Don't encourage it, Alexis. Yeah.
But here's my big thing is, if I saw those odds, I think, oh, they know something I don't. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be as confident, but I guess that's what makes me not a gambler. You know what I mean? It's like it's a little different. Was there anything that you think stuck out specifically about the difference between gambling in MLS and gambling in some other sports? Is this something that you think is going to pick up even more?
Well, I mean, definitely in the U.S. because you have municipalities like D.C. where they just legalize sports betting, and like written into the law is, something that gives each of D.C.'s professional teams, the Wiz, the Nats, all that stuff, the ability to have a sports book in their stadium, right, which is something that's common, I think, in the U.K., and to not have another sports book within like a quarter mile of the stadium or something. So I think, you might see some DC United fans, popping out at the 15th minute to place some sort of a bet on a goal score or, the end result or something like that. I would never do it, man. I have a pretty addictive personality with this kind of stuff. So I think I would lose all of my money if I tried to bet on MLS,
Addictive personality, you don't say. You have a soccer jacket from the 70s and two bikes behind you. Addictive personality, you don't say.
Yeah, I mean, I know, like you said, I drive a half car and have a pickup truck. It seems like a natural fit. It's not going to happen. You're the one that in a champion hoodie and a Carhartt. You look like you belong at an OTB right now, Alexis.
Buddy, everything you just said is a hipster reference, because now even OTB hats are hipster stuff. I'm trying to look hip, okay? I'm trying to make sure the kids think like, hey, Alexis knows what he's talking about.
OTB is off-track betting. It's like the smoky room you go to.
They're shut down.
You're not even at the horse track.
They're shut down. A company named Honest Living is selling OTB branded hats for like $150 right now. I'm not making that up.
Okay. You have to be an old Greek man to purchase one.
Yeah, dude. I remember walking by OTBs and little kids were looking in it to see if their dads were there. That's how sad OTBs used to be.
And the sad part is they never were.
No. I used to tap them on the shoulder and be like, there ain't in there, kid. I just walked in there myself.
one of my roommates in Chicago way back in the day, like 15 years ago when I lived there, she was a waitress at an OTB. And let me tell you, this is like, that is the horror story she had coming home.
Oh, it's my
like
goodness. Yeah.
That's not a job you apply for. You know, that's a job you find yourself
at. That's a job you're forced to do. Yeah.
Who's ordering at an OTB? Can I see your menu? Has never once been said at an OTB.
Trust me, there's cigar ashes in all of the food. Yeah.
No, we don't accept credit cards. We don't trust you. You're at an OTB.
Paulo, I wanted to talk to you about your opportunities that you've had to interview Wayne Rooney, right? You were talking about how much of a megastar he was. I don't think there's too many American journalists that have gotten the chance to sit down and talk to him. What was sort of your experience and sort of working with him? And also, you wrote a great article about his liaison or handler, Rory, right? Rory Maleda, if I'm not mistaken. Why did you want to write that story? And also, your relationship with working with Wayne Rooney, what was that all like?
Wayne is a, he earned a reputation, I think, in the States, and to an extent, it's one that followed him here as a pretty down-to-earth dude. And my interactions with him over, a year and a half, whatever it was, sort of served that narrative well. I think he was relatively generous with his time, a really nice guy for the most part. I think to Wayne, he was really just relieved to be at least a little bit shaded from like the tabloidy stuff in the UK. Even when stuff that happened in Vancouver that got in the tabloids, the Rebecca Vardy stuff, like nobody on the beat here in DC, I think, really had any interest in asking him about it, which is, I think, a huge relief for somebody who's like been in the UK glare, for that long. As far as the piece of Rory goes, I think it's just a fascinating insight. Rory is somebody who I've known, in passing at least for years, the club. Super hard worker who works with team operations. He schedules like team travel, stuff like that, the hotels. His life sort of flipped upside down. Rooney's agent and the club essentially asked him to be Rooney's minder, drive him everywhere. And the kid, I can't even imagine just step into that level of sort of being associated with a celebrity. It seems like a real life sort of entourage situation. So it was definitely like I was interested in getting that perspective on Rooney. I mean, so much has been written about him, but certainly not from the perspective of somebody who associates that closely with him and stuff.
How would you assess, Rooney's time with DC United? It seems to me like it's two big highlights. And then like from an outsider's point of view, it seems like not much else. But you had a different relationship with him and you sort of, especially being in that market, what do you think? How would you assess his time with DC United?
I think for the most part, it's on the field was successful. He scored, 25, 30 goals, bunch of assists. He had a couple of highlight reel worthy moments, the goal from half field, and then his tackle and assist to Acosta. It's undeniable that he raised the profile of United globally and sort of got a bunch of eyeballs on the team. But it is sort of, I think fans are left with a bittersweet taste because it's just more of the same shit, to be honest with you, as far as their playoff performance goes. They got bounced out in the opening round for the third time in a row. And, once Wayne announced his departure to Derby, it did feel like he was tuned out a little bit, Like on the field, off the field, everywhere. He missed a lot of games, obviously, the games he played. He and most of his teammates played pretty poorly, so it's like confusing kind of legacy to parse through, because the highs were so high and the lows were just like at the end, just like, what's even going on, So
it did.
So yeah, it's something maybe in 4 or 5 years, we'll have a better mirror on it.
Yeah, it did feel as soon as that announcement came, once the kind of Lucho Costa saga happened, like the mood amongst the team, just something was gone. Something was missing. So
yeah, we also just want to point out, it had nothing to do with our live show there.
No, the live show that we did at DC United was, I think they drew the game that we...
That's right.
So we got them a point. So I think that's...
If anything...
We contributed
you're
that.
You're welcome. Pablo was there.
One of the like sort of exclusive things I wrote on Rooney was I had... And this is just like... You know, I act like too cool for shit sometimes. But, you know, I sat down with Rooney for 30 minutes and talked to him about his free kick technique, right? We like sat with my laptop and he picked apart a couple of kicks for me. And, you know, that's something that like, that's just cool. I might tell my kids about that someday. But, you know, I'm bringing this up because in that piece I wrote that like he was on pace to like shatter the MLS record for free kick proficiency. And after I wrote the piece, he never scored a free kick ever again.
I hate it. What happens is that we have someone on the show and then all of a sudden the career just spirals out of control.
Yeah. At least it's not just us. Pablo is also the EA cover curse.
Yeah. The Madden curse.
Yeah. Damn. We get fired next week, I think.
Well, one other thing I wanted to ask you about was your Twitter thread for the we'll be right back. You will be right back Twitter thread. So maybe a lot of people don't know about this.
Some Adult Swim fans out there.
But Pablo has compiled one of the greatest Twitter threads of MLS. They look like little teaser commercials, but it's MLS related of like.
And they're very MLS-y moments.
Yeah, MLS-y moments, which why I appreciate Pablo is because he can. You can make fun of the league that you care about. You know, you're not just trashing it or whatever. Like you can be self-deprecating, and that's what is amazing. But there's a, I don't know if we'll be able to show it on the show per se, but it's one of the best Twitter threads you will see. That and the Nutmeg thread from Zito.
Yeah,
these are the two top tier Twitter threads that you need to make sure you follow.
Yeah, that's the top flight when it comes to Twitter threads.
Why did he start doing that? Yeah. I'm curious.
I don't remember. I mean, obviously I love the Eric Andre show, right? I mean, I think people think that I like, you know, came up with that gimmick or something. It's so clearly lifted from Adult Swim. Sometime last year, I mean, I think it's one of those things where it's itself coping. It's a coping mechanism where like, if I have to watch like, all these midfielders dribble directly into the ad boards, like, I gotta make light of it somehow, you know. I mean, who are we kidding? It's like, isn't it like one of the reasons why you like watching MLS? You know what I mean? Like, it's a little rough around the edges, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I would obviously prefer the quality to be higher, but if it's not going to be higher, let's at least enjoy that.
Like, MLS is the friend that you like having around, but not just because, but you know when he goes to flirt with a girl at the bar, he's going to trip and take out a waiter with a bunch of beers. It's just going to happen. You know, you got to stick around for it. It's a lot of fun.
All right. Well, Pablo. Go for it.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Pablo, thank you so much. Pablo, no, I'm done. I will not speak anymore. Thank you so much for joining us, man. You're great. We love your work.
Incredible writing.
You've written for a lot of publications, but you are currently with The Athletic and you do amazing work. You guys, I love the tag teaming now. There's a lot more like,
the collabs.
It's
The Athletic collabs. It's Pablo X Paul.
You guys are
Mauer X Mario X Stay School. Everybody's going to that collab.
You guys are doing great work. Make sure you follow Pablo on Twitter at MLSist. He crushes it on there. Very, very funny. And we appreciate you, man. So thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for being here, man.
I appreciate it, guys. Take care.
All right. Look,
I was
going to
do it.
Oh, we didn't discuss it beforehand. But no, I wanted to say thank you, Pablo, for joining us on the show. That was great.
That's what I was going to do. So now I'm not going to say that.
We're not going to thank him twice.
Pablo is the best. He's one of those people that when I know he's going to be at an event we're at, I'm excited.
Exactly. Fun dude.
Even though he snitched on me for dipping my cookies, I dipped Maria cookies in my beer. And again, I'm Cuban. We dip stuff in our drinks. It's our culture.
In beer, though?
Yeah, all right. Even the Cuban in the room is like, eh, bye.
I guess he's not that Cuban then, huh? All right, I guess we found another one. Okay. Off to Puerto Rico with you.
It's more disgusting than Cuban. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, sometimes they go hand in hand.
So a couple of things we want to talk about today before we wrap up are Eintracht Frankfurt, right? We talked about the team.
We were there.
We were just there a couple of weeks ago. And great win over Bayern Munich.
Sometimes when we're there, we inspire, right? But sometimes when we leave behind.
Some residue.
Just a little gully in the air. And I think this is one of those situations where that happened. Because if you didn't see it, I forgot who they were playing. Who were they playing?
They were playing Freiburg.
They were playing Freiburg, mm-hmm. right? And one of the players from Eintracht Frankfurt,
David Abraham,
is running, and the ball seems to have gone past the manager for Freiburg.
Yes.
So what do? You go around him, right? But then all of a sudden, David Abraham remembered us.
He's like, oh, I was.
And he was like, remember when those guys threatened to fight our mascot, Attila the Eagle? Maybe I should be a little gully in this situation.
As I bring that kind of energy.
Yeah, you know, just to get the boys together.
Exactly, you know?
A bonding experience. So he dips the shoulder and completely takes out the manager of Freiburg.
Yeah, so manager Christian Streich, I think it was pronounced. I think it was a little bit of gamesmanship from the manager as well.
There was some showmanship involved.
Yes,
for sure.
He very much, I wouldn't say he flopped because he did get hit.
It's a bit of a dive.
But he definitely made the most of him being, you know, getting struck in the shoulder by another.
He yelled, "Ay Dios mío!" as he fell.
he definitely.
Yeah, the arms
went out. You got to see it in slow motion if you haven't seen this. But he is very.
Shouts to the camera people for Bundesliga who were all like, "Swan, everybody get
over there, 120 frames per second." You know,
everybody, they had the drone overhead, they had all the angles
Look, we always say, and you know, really, being in Germany, we were there obviously to like learn about what the league is like, and what these are the kind. We don't care about what the scores or the games or whatever,
buddy. No one's showing you highlights. This is what they're showing. This went viral. So as far as I'm concerned, maybe the next time you get close to a manager, throw a little elbow, okay?
Okay.
Thing you know, you're in SportsCenter.
All right. You know, the not top 10 is just as good as the top 10, I'll be honest.
Buddy, you're on our top 10 already. And what'd you do? You did one thing. Somebody actually fight that eagle, okay? And yo, this is for Christian, you know?
So, in the next Premier League game, you know, Jurgen Klopp, Pep Guardiola, maybe a little too close to the ball. Yeah. All right.
Get a little mush going. Just mush it, dude.
You know what? How many times has Pep Guardiola ever been mushed?
None.
Probably zero.
You saw how disrespectful he was to the officials.
To the official.
He came over with a very condescending, thank you very much. You guys are great at your job. Imagine one of those officials just reaches out. You don't even see his face. You just reach a hand out and mushes him.
Exactly.
Just get back to your center.
Premier League, we're making you all the money right now. This will be a good opportunity.
You thought your last TV contract was good. Wait till you see this one.
Okay. The Premier League games are going to be on pay-per-view going forward.
Dana White is going to show up.
Okay. But that was it was pretty ridiculous. I've never seen anything like that.
You don't see it very often.
Yeah, where a player just absolutely takes out a manager.
Let's see what happens on Dusseldorf next, because we were there too. All right? Zach Steffen don't play that. He's going to go studs up.
Yeah, I love that everybody was tweeting at us like, this is your fault.
Yeah.
Cooligans, go there once.
A lot of Frankfurt fans were like, is this what happens when you go somewhere?
Please, do not visit our club. We don't want any poops.
We were respectful.
No, we had a great time over there. So, red carded. Not going to be playing the next game, but hopefully we learn from his
straight red, aka the gully card. You got it, buddy. when we were in Seattle for MLS Cup, we went as press, and sometimes we get invited to the press conference.
Correct.
And oftentimes when we're there, we're like, why are we here?
We feel a lot of place. We're not journalists, you know, exactly. But
can't ask funny questions. We tried that, got in trouble once.
Yeah, it was. People were like, you know,
it was said in no certain terms, like, "Yo, don't do that again." There's no reason.
It wasn't said, "Don't do that again." But when somebody says, "Why are you here?" Yeah. It sort of intimates that
after you've asked the question, "Hey, why are you here?" That means they didn't enjoy the question.
But we did. With this time around, we were like, "Let's put our journalist hats on with a little press, little ticket right on there," and.
Mine's a snapback, in case anybody's wondering. Your boy keeps a gully.
So we asked
questions. So I had a question about the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement.
And just so people know, this was this Don Garber State of the League, which he does before every MLS Cup. He basically says, like a State of the Union address.
Right. Here's what happened this year. Here's what we're looking forward to. Every once in a while, a little bit of news is dropped or made. So everyone's asking some pretty good questions. You and I decided to ask a question. I leaned over and I said, yo, we should ask about the CBA, and you go, yeah, I got a question about that. And I was like, damn it, he's got a good question. So now I need to come up. So you asked the question, and people were like, oh, like you heard it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was, but it was one of those like, oh, they're asking that? Like,
wow, look at them putting words together. Then I go to ask a question, and everyone's like, oh,
okay, right, here comes
the silly question. And I asked a question about the state of the league as far as their combination with Liga MX and what's coming up. I said that they were flirting with each other, you know?
Yes.
And I was like, maybe
he did use the word in a publicly broadcasted. Like, oh, you leagues are flirting with each other?
And I go, maybe it's not the right word, but you get what I'm saying, Don. I did say that. So the question was answered, and he even said, oh, that's a great question. And then he answered it, right? And then you and I start getting messages from the other reporters in the room.
And people also watching. This is like live stream. This stuff. Yeah.
So we're getting messages from people not in the room and people in the room saying, whoa, you both asked good questions, which is also a bad reaction.
The one thing that's interesting, I asked the question about the CBA and where the league's confidence is in getting a deal done and avoiding a lockout.
Well, you said the players are unified, and he's like, the players should always be unified.
Yeah, this is what happens when you a lot of respect to journalists, because whenever you ask a question to any person in sports, they immediately get mad at you. They're like, we're here to ask questions, and they get mad at you that you're asking one.
They don't want you to ask a question about something that's happening. They want you to ask a question like, yo, weather's pretty good, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
they want small talk. But it was like, I very much felt like the MLS commissioner, Don Garber, was mad at me at that moment.
Like, if he could have answered the way he wanted to, he'd be like, why you gotta ask me about that?
Why you gotta get all serious about this right now?
The lawyers are gonna wonder what I'm gonna say now. Everybody's nervous because of you.
Because it's a weird thing with contract negotiations, with collective bargaining and negotiating with a union, right? Because you sort of have to be this alpha.
Yeah.
And I noticed that very much. And like, hey, man, I wasn't asking your dick size. You know what I mean? Like, it was like a very strange.
Show it, dude. And you didn't say that.
But it was just like he kind of alpha'd me, to be like, we're confident it's gonna be sorted out.
But he was like, of course the players are unified; they should be unified, not nearly as unified as we are. You know, he was like very like, you want to hear something, bub?
You know? it was you realize how serious it really is when you have that conversation. It's just like,
meanwhile, when I asked my question, I said that we're flirting. He started blushing. He's like, oh my god, did Liga MX say anything?
I'm
about
sorry,
me?
Nah, I didn't mean to.
He's like, oh my god, were they saying like they're enjoying hanging out with us, or maybe we should kick it to the next level? It was very odd to hear when we asked both questions. As the answer started, people started tippy-tapping, and those are journalists. You know they're sending tweets out or adding to articles, and we're like, yo, we're newsmakers, and we didn't have to, like, do anything stupid, you know? We didn't punch anyone. Yeah.
But it's good. I think we're progressing. This was our fourth MLS Cup, and I think we're getting more. Are we maturing into?
Well, no one asked us why we were there after.
So that's good.
They asked
before when we requested press credentials.
You sure you should be here? I also love how like we're dressed in like, you know, track suits and hoodies and everyone else is wearing suits. It's like, well, we're still going to be ourselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're never going to conform to what you consider.
It feels weird to be in a suit in a, you know, an MLS press conference. Yeah,
never trust a comedian in a suit. That's my rule.
Okay.
We did it, everybody.
We did it again. Look at this. Crazy, huh?
You put cameras in front of us, we're going to give you an episode.
Sure. I mean, that could be, it could be a manic episode.
It could be. Sometimes it is. Doesn't it feel like one
sometimes?
It could
be a depressive one, too. Yeah. No, thank you again for watching. We appreciate everyone.
And thank you to Pablo. Pablo Maurer, man.
Pablo Maurer of The Athletic. Yes, again, subscribe to The Athletic. One of my favorite, journalism stuff.
Yeah. What a journey we all just went on.
You know, at the end of these episodes, I run out of words.
Yeah. Only so many words in our brains, guys. It's like a gas tank. Also, our bodies have no clue what time it is or where we are. So but Pablo is amazing. One of my favorite writers in all of soccer, American or not. So
yeah.
Especially when he works with Paul Tenorio. Paul Tenorio is also incredible. The Athletic's got a great
people.
Stable.
Great people out the Athletic. So again, make sure you give us a follow at Soccer Cooligans.
And join Gully Squad.
Join Gully Squad at Fubo Sports. And you can watch us do stand-up. We do stand-up as well. So you can follow us as well. At Not Alexis, at Chris Polanco. I just did it backwards. My name is Chris Polanco.
I'm Alex Guerreros.
Together, what are we?
The